Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
5 o'clock today, Joel Corey is going to join Grant and Danny. No Danny. I want to talk to Joel, the contracts expert for CBS Sports, about how much money Dak Prescott's going to make, and is that money going to come from the Dallas Cowboys? Also within the division, are the Cowboys going to be able to pay Dak Prescott while also paying CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons? Or is it a foregone conclusion that at least one, if not a couple of those guys, could end up walking? Want to talk to CBS's cap expert about that and about the idea that you're starting to see come about in the NFL that maybe there could be a quarterback salary cap, that the money for QBs could be taken off of the actual cap, and that there'd be a way to finagle basically more money for other positions that way. It doesn't make sense to me, and I don't buy it. I think it sounds like fantasy football. And it's an econ class that I didn't take that's above my head, so I'm going to get Joel to explain that to me and to you coming up in a couple of hours. That's at 5 o'clock right here on The Fan. I should remind you that the exclusive sponsor of this show is our friends, the law firm of Condori and Murrah. They will guide you and your family in the right direction. They will help you draft a will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com, and please be sure to tell them we sent you so that you can get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Before we talk Brandon Ayuk, I want to put a bow on our Jaden Daniels conversation. Dave's been waiting patiently in Virginia. Dave, do you think there's any chance that he doesn't start and Mariota does in the preseason game on Saturday? They were vague in just saying that he would play.
Hey, guys, love the show. Thanks so much for letting me jump in here. I love this conversation. This has been a fantastic conversation. I think it's a great question. I would not be upset if he doesn't start right away. What I'm really most curious about, I mean, this is a guy who has the potential to play 170 games for us, right? Like, I don't want him hurt right away. To me, this is an audition really for the offensive line. I'd like to see some run plays. I'd like to see how the running game is supposed to be much better this year. I'd like to see how these offensive line pieces can move around. At some point, I want to see him in the game. Some simple plays, maybe some bubble screens, play action. Just some simple stuff so you can get his feet under him. But no, I would not be upset if he doesn't start. I would like to see him play at least a few plays.
Appreciate you. You're going to see that, Dave. They've said he will play. Clary, am I taking crazy pills? We have had more people call in to say they'd be fine with him not starting. They'd be fine with him coming off the bench in the preseason opener. It's not going to anger them in any way. So that they can get a look at Marcus Mariota with the first team.
No, I mean, you are absolutely correct. I think it's insane that people are thinking this right now. Because Mariota is not the starter. He is not the future. Jayden Daniels is the future. I want to see him play as much as he possibly can at this point in time.
The thing for me is that these people are saying, not a big deal if he doesn't start in this first preseason game. He's going to be the starter. As if there's 3 months between now and the opener. As if there's some 6, 7, 8 exhibition games where he's going to get all of his work in after this. You've got a couple drives on Saturday. And then you've got 1 week from then, another opportunity to play. And then you probably put everybody in bubble wrap. And then you get to the regular season. It's now August 5th. Like, I was the guy, if you want to say I'm a little overreactionary on the first day of training camp, where I'm already asking for Dan Quinn to just don't play games. Name Jayden Daniels the starter. Do what the Bears did with Caleb Williams, please. The Bears drafted him 1-1. They knew he was going to be their starter, and they said, why would we pretend? They hadn't even gotten through rookie minicamp yet, and they named Caleb Williams their starting quarterback. That's the way I would do it. That's the way Dad did it. Fine. Separate that. It's not the way Dan Quinn does it. No problem. Dan Quinn's a smart guy. He's been around the block. He's coached in a Super Bowl. I'm not here to question every move that he makes. I will give him the benefit of the doubt that in the next couple of days, it's going to become evident by distribution that Jayden Daniels is the starter. That was a couple weeks ago. If the opening preseason game is started by Marcus Mariota, the only thing that would be more ridiculous than that would be fans being okay with it. All of a sudden, this is the most calm, docile, accepting, patient fan base in America. Let's go to Shane in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Shane?
Grant, killing Grant. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, bro.
Hey, look, here's the thing. Yeah, I mean, he's our number two pick in the draft for a reason. He's got to be out there. We got to see what he's doing. Yeah, I mean, that's part of the game. Injuries is part of the game. You got to go out there and see what this new toy is going to do. Now, if it's
but hang on, I'm going to let you go, but I do want to cut in real quick just to say, this isn't about injuries, I don't think, because people are saying
– I don't think it is either.
But I'm just saying, the people that are saying they won't be upset if he doesn't start aren't saying they don't want him to play in the preseason. I'm asking,
no, I would be very upset.
Would you be annoyed if he came in after Mariota and people are going, oh, no,
absolutely,
that's fine.
Absolutely.
No problem.
No, it's not fine. It's not fine. If this fan base says it's fine, then they're lying. We drafted a number two pick for a reason, a quarterback for a reason, to start this season, to see what we have. Absolutely not. He needs to be behind center. He needs that chemistry. And that's why, hey, football's all about chemistry. And he gets out there and does his thing. No, of course I'm going to be upset. This is the number two pick in the damn draft.
Well, remember, and thanks for the call, Shane. I appreciate you. Remember this, too. There is really no recent precedent for a pick in the top couple of selections not getting that initial nod in the preseason game. Even the guys who were splitting time at the beginning of camp. We went back last week and looked this up. Like C.J. Stroud initially last year and Davis Mills were going back and forth. And then a weekend they kind of, you know, anointed C.J. Stroud, the quarterback, and said, well, now he's moved past Davis Mills on the depth chart because he's proven to us that he can do A, B, C, and D. It all has always kind of happened before that first preseason game. I would say there is a 0% chance Jayden Daniels doesn't start in the opener. And if your point is, who cares about anything else as long as he's on the field? I guess I can live with that. But I just need people to acknowledge that Marcus Mariota is not Jacoby Brissett. That Marcus Mariota is not Gardner Minshew. That this is not a, well, we've got a caretaking veteran who can win you some football games. You signed Mariota because he is going to be a backup that is non-threatening, largely. Let's go to Mo in Largo on G&D. What's up, Mo?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Mo Mounts. This is my guy. Got my TV looking fresh. I had someone come over to the basement watching some TV the other day. We were watching a game, and they were shouting out how no wires were showing, how it looked good. I told them Mo Mounts is the way to go.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir. As excited as I am to see Jaden play, I'm a little reserved, and I'll explain why. Because regardless of how prepared or capable he is of running our offense, if the offensive line doesn't have any continuity, it's not going to work. So I think the majority of us are more interested in seeing the growth from the offensive line and the offensive scheme with regards to blocking and legitimizing our run game, because if that's in play, then that makes everything else in play. So, yes, I am excited, and I want to see Jaden play, but there are more important pieces that need to be displayed that will allow him to be successful moving forward.
But, Mo, that to me is a completely different conversation. Like, I agree with every word you just said, and those are significant pieces to the puzzle. Now, everyone's fooling themselves if they think any piece is more important than the Jaden Daniels piece and him being the guy, because he is a binary one or a zero. You're either going to have a shot moving forward or you're not with this regime, based on if Jaden Daniels is the promised, long-awaited, elusive quarterback piece that you've been missing. But having said that, your answer as to, well, we're excited about these other things, that has nothing to do with whether he starts or not. Like, you're going to see all those things with or without him on the field. It would still be absurd if he didn't start in the preseason game.
But here's what you're dealing with, though, because if you start him in the first snap of the first preseason game, right, pretty much is the first snap of the first preseason game for the offensive line. I mean, where does their continuity come from? And if they're not solidified, then somebody comes crashing through the line, we lose our rookie quarterback the first preseason game of the season. So I mean,
so you're scared of the line protecting for him?
I need to know that they can protect him first.
Okay, but
that's all I'm saying.
But let me say this, Mo. This line is not some dudes they found at King George High School. Andrew Wiley started in a Super Bowl. Sam Cosmi is a Pro Bowl caliber lineman. They just paid Tyler Biadasz $10 million a year. Nick Allegretti played every snap in the Super Bowl for the Chiefs last year, and they just took Brandon Coleman third round, or Cornelius Lucas started for them at times last season and played adequately. Like,
down by the line that looks... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just saying they've got a bunch of dudes who have done it in the NFL at very high levels or with teams that won a lot while they were on the field.
Well, yeah, it sounds like a line that looks great on paper. And once they prove it, then I'll feel more comfortable. But I believe we've been here before with a roster that we thought was capable of producing and we thought was capable of taking us to the next level, and we didn't. So I get it. I'm just... Maybe I've been beaten to a pulp from all of the years of inadequacy that this team has produced. But right now, I'm just trying to remain patient, trying to remain optimistic, but just not trying to get out over my skis, if you understand what I'm saying.
I totally do. Thank you, Mo. It's good to hear from you, brother. I'm trying to connect the dots on your point and what I'm asking, right? I'm not telling you this line's going to be top 10 in the NFL. They're probably going to be 25th or 22nd or 18th out of 32 teams. It's a middling to below average, probably, group. That doesn't necessarily change by next week. You're not playing him in the next preseason game either. I don't know if that changes by Tampa. Does he not play in that game either? Or your point is just their first batch of snaps together, he's not going to be behind them. They've had weeks of training camp going up against Allen and Payne and Newton. They're going to have an entire day's worth, 90 minutes, 2 hours of work against the Jets. Now, it's non-contact in a practice, but they're going to be going up against the same guys they're going up against in a game in a joint session. It's not like it's a complete mystery to this coaching staff if they can do it or not. And is it going to get better, by the way, when the backup line comes into the game? Like, you're worried about putting him behind, let's say, Coleman, Allegretti, Biotish, Cosme, and Wiley, the starters. But we'll let Marcus Mariota go behind those guys because I'm not sure if I can trust them. But when Trent Scott, Michael Dieter, Ricky Stromberg, Chris Paul, and Brandon Coleman are in there, or Braden Daniels is in there, now that's Jaden Daniels' time to shine. Make that make sense? So if he's not starting, then why are you playing him at all? Then you're just playing him behind the backups to the guys you don't trust? Kevin's in Centerville. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, what's up, Grant minus Danny? How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Hey, look, I play Jaden Daniels all you want. I don't want to play him in MetLife Stadium in the preseason. He can play against the Giants when they have to go there. With the turf injuries, let's talk about Nick Bosa, Solomon Thomas, Jimmy Garoppolo, Raheem Mostert, Sterling Shepard, and Aaron Rodgers last year on the new turf, quote-unquote, that was supposed to be better than the other turf that was wrecking people's knees. Look, I don't care about the line. You're right. He's got to play against the line. Or he's got to play behind the line whenever, right? I just don't want to put my high-prize valued asset out there on the field that we drafted with the number two pick so he can go out there, wreck his knee, and not play any games for the rest of the year. I know that injury is a part of football, but there's risk and there's unnecessary risk. And unnecessary risk is playing at MetLife Stadium on that turf.
So I think this is actually a really interesting point, Kev. Thank you for the call. Now, would I play him at the Meadowlands? Yes. He's going to have to play on good turfs and bad turfs all season long. There's going to be games every year in the division, as you said, on that field. Your point is, you said in segment one, GP, it's a risk reward. It's a juice worth the squeeze proposition. The juice is not worth the squeeze to do it in August. And if that's your take, while I'll disagree, I'm fine with that. But then they would have come out and said, we're not going to play him in this first preseason game. We don't want him playing on that turf. We're going to get him enough work in the joint practice. That's going to be as valuable to him and to us as a game. He will make his debut in Miami. And if they did it that way, then they could potentially either just have him play the one preseason game against the Dolphins. And if he plays a full quarter or a quarter and change, they could say they got him enough work. I wouldn't have loved that. Or they could say, he's not going to play against the Jets, but we're going to play him twice in the preseason. We're going to have our starters go against Miami, and we're going to have our starters play at home against New England in the final preseason game. And then you're playing him in front of the home crowd before the regular season and the only home preseason game against the Patriots for the Jaden Daniels, Drake May, second pick, third pick matchup. I believe that one is actually going to be a night game in primetime. So they could have done it that way. And had they have done it, wouldn't have been my cup of tea, but it would have at least made enough sense if they had the logic and the reasoning to say, hey, we don't want him to play on the worst turf in the National Football League. We actually believe in the idea that there's more injuries there. We're going to take care of all of our guys, not play on that surface, and we'll go Miami, and we'll go New England weeks 2 and 3. But they're not doing that. They're playing him in this game. So while I think it's a fun argument and it's a good point that you bring up about that turf, I don't know that it's relevant to kind of what we're talking about. Do you start him or not? Would you be mad if they didn't start him? They're going to play him. My guess is we find out really soon that he is starting. He should start. We all expect him to start in this game. And so maybe it's much ado about nothing. But I guess to me the bigger point is not even will he start. It's this idea that I just can't believe people would be okay with even that possibility. I keep waiting for everyone to match my energy on how silly this is getting, and everyone's going, no, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, this is exactly what you do when you draft a Heisman Trophy winner, number two overall, and Marcus Mariota's the other guy, and one of them looks really good in practice, and the other one looks not very good in practice. You definitely do it this way. You split reps, and maybe the veteran who's not going to start inaugurates the preseason on the field. Sometimes you feel like you're the only guy taking the crazy pills, I suppose. There's some Brandon Ayuk rumblings. He is back in the news, and now It actually sounds like some of the real reporters who get news in San Francisco believe there's a chance he could get traded. Now let's get into that next. Grant and Danny on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Breaking non-sports news for you. Welcome back, G&D without Danny. Just Grant today on The Fan. So on the show a couple weeks ago, we were talking about going to the movies. The fellas all got together. We went and saw Twisters, starring Glenn Powell, also known as Ryan Clary. Ate some popcorn, drank some cola, high-fived. It was a good time. But while we were discussing going to the movie, it became pretty clear that I was one of the only guys of the group that didn't occasionally get my candy before I got to the movie theater. And then sneak that candy into the theater in your pocket. That's the move. Well, I don't know why. It just feels nubby. I've never done it. Always refused to do it. Candy's expensive, though. And tickets are expensive. I took the kids to see Harold and the Purple Crayon this weekend. This is a kind of a funny movie. If you have kids, you should definitely go see it. Basically, a movie about a book. Adventurous Harold can make anything come to life by drawing it with his purple crayon. So we went and saw it, and for the first time ever, we stopped at a gas station. I let the kids hop out of the car. They went shopping in the candy aisle. I said, you could pick out anything you want. And they're used to me giving them a couple of selections of some of the cheaper candies at the movie theater. And I said, anything in this aisle. And I think we went with some pretty basic snacks. My son went with fruit snacks. Reagan went with gummy worms, I think. So they did fine. And then my son, the whole time, though, when we were trying to get through the ticket tearing and into the theater, kept saying, Dad, let me have my candy. Dad, let me have my candy. And I kept telling him, like, bro, it's in my pocket. I'm going to give it to you when we get to our seats. You can't ask about the candy right in front of the guy that's supposed to make sure daddy's not sneaking candy into the theater. Now, we had someone call in and gave me the go-ahead to do this. This is why I felt okay about it. Because a caller last week said, look, I worked at a movie theater for a long time. Trust me, nobody cares if you have candy in your pocket. No one's going to stop you. No one's going to check you. I'm thinking it's like NSA at the airport where they're frisking you down and guy looks at your bulging pocket and he's like, you got fruit snacks in there? Did you buy those here? The next thing you know, he's calling security. I'm getting cuffed and stuffed in the back of a car trying to sneak some candy into a theater. But it was just funny. We're right there. I got my popcorn, my cup in my hand. And my son's like, Dad, let me have my candy. I'm like, this guy knows I didn't just buy the candy. I'm getting a little nervous. But we got through without issue. We got into the theater. We sat down. I gave him his candy. So, Clary, we're one for one on Operation Save Some Money at the movie theater.
I'm proud of you because I do know that you were a little like skeptical of the way that I did it.
Nervous. For myself. For you, I was like, yeah, I feel like it is a shameful act.
It is.
And I did. I felt like as I'm opening the candy for my kids and passing it to my right to Truman and to the left to Reagan, I'm going, ugh, this is a bad dad move. Because you also don't want to be the dad who's teaching them your nubby ways.
Of course.
Like you want your kids to be like, if we're going to the movie theater, you pay for what you bring in. You don't sneak something in. So I didn't make a big deal about it that we snuck it in that we weren't supposed to, and I don't think they were old enough to connect the dots. But you get a couple more years of that before they realize my dad's a donk.
I mean,
my dad's just sneaking candy into the theater.
Yeah, I mean, if they saw dad's friend Ryan Clary, I mean, they would think that I am the worst human out there because I snuck in a big bag of Sour Patch. I had a big bag of popcorn. I also had another bag of candy. I'm forgetting what I brought. I believe it may have been M&M's as well, but that's how I do it. I've always done it that way, and that's what Mama Clary told me. So she's taught us how to save some money.
As long as you're not the family that's taking out their whole meal, I think that is a bridge too far. I can level with you on the candy because I can also make it, this is not how you should be doing it, but I could justify it and make it make sense in my own head by saying, a pack of fruit snacks should not cost $7. Like, you're screwing me. I'm going to screw you. A little bit of that. I'm already spending $18 for my ticket. I'm already probably dropping $70 when I should be dropping like $30. So I can justify it in my own head, even if that's silly. But the people that they get in there, next thing you know, out of this hoodie comes a big grocery plastic bag where they pull out their Chipotle-wrapped burritos and you can hear them unfurling the brown paper bag all loudly with the nice, delicious Chipotle chips. That's a little embarrassing. That's probably too far. Let's go to Josh, who's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Josh, am I a donk?
Oh, no, Grant. You, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. And let me give you a tip. The best place to get candy before the movies is the dollar store. Family Dollar, Dollar Tree.
Oh, that's actually even better than what I did.
Oh, man, you get a big old bag of candy for like $1, $1.25. Big old bag of candy. two bags of candy for one kid. They're gonna go right to sleep from candy after eating so much candy.
That's actually so brilliant because I think I dropped, you know, still like $7, $8 on a couple of, you know, bags of just the two pouches of candy, we'll call it, for the two kids. Because gas station, you're not quite shopping at an airport. But you're not shopping the cheapest you could do? That might be the play next time. If we're going cheap, let's go really cheap. Let's go dollar store it up, and they get to pick two candy items. Although, here's how you know you're a bad dad as well. We're like 45 minutes into the movie, and my daughter looks over at me, and she's like, my stomach hurts. I ate too much candy. So I'm not doing any of the parental things like, For me, this is exciting. We're at a movie. Let's eat candy together. Let's eat. Let's get a large popcorn. Like, I'm living vicariously through them just to kind of make the whole thing fun for me. And they're paying for it now because we're pummeling candy, buttered popcorn. I'm buttering it all up. And my daughter's like, my stomach hurts. My son's asleep. He's already in so much pain. He's got to take a nap. So we'll go back to the drawing board. We'll skip that day of the dad class. We'll probably have to balance our candy intake a little bit during the trailers. Patrick's in Columbia. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Doing well, buddy.
Hey, the funny thing is I just went and saw Deadpool with my family. Of course, you know, we brought a couple snacks in there like, you know, normal people do. You know, you don't want to spend a crazy price. But
okay, but what is a normal snack? You said you brought in like candy, just a little?
You know, yeah, a couple, okay. You know, like Skittles, a couple of Twizzlers. You know, you don't got to buy the $7 Twizzlers. You can go buy your $3 Twizzlers.
Right. Acceptable.
But whatever.
I'm but a listen, Twizzlers guy at the movie theater, by the way. I get killed for this. That's my one seed candy at a movie theater. I'll bypass everything else. I like my move is, you guys know about the pulsing. You put meatballs in a cup. You tilt the cup back. You drink it like it's water, right? You pour the meatballs into your mouth. The movie theater pulsing, this is a different area of pulsinry altogether. You wrap a piece, you bite off some Twizzler, you wrap it around popcorn, and then you eat the both at the same time. The butter and the salt of the popcorn with the sweetness of the Twizzler, it's perfect combination.
What about cutting the ends off and using it as a straw?
I've seen people do that. It's just more work than it. Like, it sounds cooler than it is. You really got to suck extra hard to get soda.
That's little kid and fun stuff. But now, listen, the whole family in front of me, like two rows up to the right, they had a whole Popeye's family meal, sides and all.
No.
They didn't have the drinks, but they had the boxes.
They weren't, like, plating it, right? They weren't, like, taking out spoons and plating it.
Oh, yeah, they were, like, passing out the little Popeye's trays.
That is asinine.
Yeah, but, you know, who knows? They were having fun. It was Deadpool Wolverine. I definitely suggest seeing that if you haven't.
Well, it's excellent. It's very, very fun. Went and saw it. It was really, really good. Just a great summer flick, hour and 48-minute summer fun masterpiece, right? You're not trying to win Academy Awards, just make me laugh. It was a really good time. But if we're passing out paper plates and then mom's coming along with a spoon shoveling out mashed potatoes and some rice from Popeyes, too much. You are ruining it for us all. We're taking the inch, you're taking the mile. We're all just trying to get our Skittles into the movie theater. You're going to ruin it for everyone. And I guess they really don't care. It's true. It's almost like once you get into the theater and you sit down, it's the wild, wild west. The only thing that happens after you sit down in a movie theater at this point is that at some point, some worker will waddle in very slowly over to that air conditioning situation, the thermostat right on the wall, and they'll shine the flashlight. I think it's like mandatory that they check the temperature or something. And they're like, okay, it says 70 degrees. And then they walk out. But if they see someone with a Popeye spread, they don't say anything or do anything? Is that the deal? As long as you get past the checkpoint that is the ticket terror, now you can do anything you want in the theater food-wise? Because I was still kind of hiding the one candy that we had that they didn't sell. I figured, well, if he sees the fruit stacks, they sold this here, so he's not going to have any questions. But I thought if he makes eye contact and he sees that we got these gummy worms that they're not selling, maybe he's going to come confiscate. Yet we got a family just having a picnic at the movie theater. Everything short of a blanket. These people are just comfortable. Mike in Gaithersburg, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, sir? I was just calling in about sneaking in the food and everything, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, not only the food. I used to sneak in bottles when I was younger, bottles of mimosa. That's how I saw Pulp Fiction. And, you know, when I used to go to the Nationals games and the Bins games, to sneak the nips, the little, you know what I'm saying, the little liquor.
Yeah, the airplane bottles.
In your socks on the sides. Yeah. Just, or the hotel one. Just stick them in your socks on the inside part by your ankle. And they never check it or anything. And then you can enjoy the game a little bit better.
Well, you see, the thing about that, and appreciate you, I mean, most movie theaters I go to now have a lobby where you can buy a drink. So the sneaking in of alcohol, I don't know why with alcohol, it just feels like it's a level up from candy. It is the big league version of single A Fredericksburg that is candy. That seems like it's just on another level. But people have done that at games for a long, long time. I remember going to a game years and years ago, and one of the guys I went with as a teenager, he had like binoculars. And the binoculars unscrewed and opened up, and you could put whatever you want right in the binoculars. That's not new. But yeah, there's some people out there that do that. I want to get into this Brandon Ayuk trade rumor coming out of San Francisco. I've been one of the loud vocal naysayers all along saying he's not going to get traded. But now some of the beat reporters out there think it might happen. So we should dive into that soon here on G&D. Also, our double play coming up. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Wait till you hear what Jacoby Brissett said about chicken tenders. You're listening to The Fan. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan, August 5th, 2024. Monday afternoon, we'll get to a double play in just a couple of moments. Did want to give you the latest on the Brandon Ayuk reporting I referenced out of San Francisco. So here was what was going on over the weekend. Matt Maiocco, who covers the Niners for NBC Bay Area, is a newsbreaker, gets a lot of intel, is pretty plugged in out there. And most of the reporting on Ayuk or people suggesting he could get traded, it's been a lot of aggregator stuff, a lot of people on the outside looking in just suggesting what if he got traded, look at what he posted on Instagram. But this was one of the first times that a guy who was plugged in like a stove, you know, actually came out and said, I could see him getting traded. And it happened yesterday with Maiocco, who wrote in a piece last night, why would the 49ers be willing to move wide receiver Brandon Ayuk if, like most NFL trades, they receive only draft picks in return? The answer is they probably would not. After all, San Francisco is built to win now, and there is no reason for them to be interested in anything that weakens the team for the coming season. That was the first couple of paragraphs. By the way, it's exactly what I've been saying. They've got to win the Super Bowl. They're in win-or-go-home mode. Kyle Shanahan has been to a Super Bowl now as an OC and as a head coach multiple times, and has not finished what he started. Their GM, John Lynch, is fending off, you know, haters at the door who suggest that, you know, they're just not going to be able to win now. They didn't take advantage of their window. They missed their golden opportunity. So it is Super Bowl or bust mode for San Francisco before some of these contracts like Ayuk's blow up and they lose their chance after paying Brock Purdy to do it with a quarterback on a rookie contract. Maiocco went on to write, but what if they could acquire a proven wide receiver in addition to future draft picks? Now that starts to make sense for the 49ers and Ayuk. And he would go on to say that he, for the first time, actually does see a path to an Ayuk trade because he's hearing that the receiver and the team are not getting closer together on a deal and that the discussions between the player and the club basically are stalled. There's been other reporting this weekend from NFL Draft Buzz that came out that actually suggested that there are two teams that are the most likely to be able to pull off a trade with the 49ers. They cited the Cleveland Browns and the New England Patriots as those teams. And we can get into why those clubs seem to be singled out here. But if, in fact, Maiocco's reporting is correct and the Niners would have no interest in trading Ayuk for just picks, but that he does now think they would be willing to trade him, I'm guessing he was told this by somebody, for a veteran wide receiver that could help them this year and draft picks, then Cleveland makes a lot of sense because they've got Amari Cooper, who caught 72 balls for 1,250 yards and 5 touchdowns last year, who's going into the final year of his deal. So if the Browns wanted to trade Cooper to San Francisco and then pay Ayuk $30 million a year, throw in a pick or two, that might get a deal done. And it would make sense for San Fran. Ayuk would be happy to get paid, and the Browns would be happy to add a wide receiver. So at least you're starting to now connect the dots on why would the Niners do this? Well, which was always my issue before when everyone suggested that the 49ers and the Commanders should work something out to trade Ayuk to Washington for some draft picks. The 49ers are trying to win a title. You're not giving up a second-team all-pro wide receiver who went 70 for 1,300 last year for draft picks in a got-to-have-it year. But if we're now saying you could trade a veteran wide receiver in those picks and get Ayuk, while that might change whether or not you're interested in doing that, if you're a team considering acquiring him, at least you could start to find some potential dance partners where the 49ers get something out of the deal, Ayuk gets paid so he's happy, and then the acquiring team that has the veteran to trade gets Ayuk. The Patriots make less sense to me only because I don't see the veteran that San Fran would be really happy to add. Kendrick Bourne's the name that came up in the story, who's okay, but I mean, he's a fourth receiver type in my opinion. My guess is because there's familiarity in San Fran, he played with Shanahan before, maybe he knows the offense, and the thought is he could help them right away. Obviously, you'd have to give up a much nicer package of picks with Bourne than you would with Amari Cooper. But it does make you think a little bit about Washington and whether or not they would pick the phone back up if some of these storylines are percolating again this week. But we can get into that in more detail next hour. Let's get to our double play on G&D, driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. I saw this clip online, sent it to Ryan, thought this would be a perfect time to address it. I don't really know how this came about, but there are two mic'd up New England Patriots at practice. There is a lineman talking to Jacoby Brissett, the former Washington quarterback, wearing his red "Don't Touch Me" penny at practice. And what I'm going to tell you what you're going to hear, and then you'll listen to the audio because it's a little difficult to pick up if I don't give you some of the pointers first. But this lineman is talking about, it seems like a fast food joint or a restaurant or something, and he's telling Jacoby Brissett how good the place is, and he's saying they've got chicken tenders, and he's naming some other things. Burgers, I think, comes up. And Jacoby Brissett stops him with great disdain, and he tells him, "I don't give a damn about chicken tenders because I'm a grown-up," basically. He says, "I'm 31 years old." He goes full Mike Gundy on him. "Why would I care about chicken tenders? I'm 31. I'll listen to the clip here.
I got chicken tenders, burgers.
No chicken tenders.
Yeah, I say cookout.
I'm 31.
One more time, let's hear Jacoby Brissett's anger about the notion of eating a chicken tender because he's a grown-up.
I got chicken tenders, burgers.
No chicken tenders.
Yeah, I say cookout.
I'm 31.
Jacoby, you're my guy. I love you. You are the consummate veteran professional. You had 5 drives here in the nation's capital last year with the good guys, and I think you scored 5 times. You were probably the best quarterback in the building, hindsight becoming wisdom, looking back to last season. Now, I wouldn't have played you because I had to find out what Sam Howell was, but you were better than Deshaun Watson in your final year in Cleveland. You outperformed him. You came here and you sat behind a guy you probably could have outperformed all season long in Sam Howell. I think you are the epitome of the bridge, like the best version of the backup quarterback who keeps a seat warm. Wish you were still here to help out Jaden Daniels. You have never been more wrong about anything, sir. Chicken tenders? You can't eat anymore because you're 31 years old? That's a food that you have to give up because you're a grown-up? Absolutely not. Chicken tenders are still an entree on a lot of menus. They're still an appetizer at tons of places. They'll give you some tendies, and they'll do a bunch of different sauces. You ever had tendies at a Glory Days grill? We do those at our fantasy football draft every year in August. Get some tendies with a bunch of sauces. Now, it's funny to hear Jacoby Brissett say this after the guy he shared a quarterback room with last year only ate chicken tenders, basically, in Sam Howell, who had never had steak. Remember, he was team chicken tender, Mr. Tendy. Maybe that's where the frustration comes from. Brissett trying to put a flag in the ground, separate himself from Sam Howell once and for all. But it did get me to thinking about foods that you should stop eating after you're young. Like, what foods are the best when you're a kid, but as a grown-up, you're not supposed to eat them anymore? And I want to throw this out for Clary, who's much younger than me, who's 24, and for Anthony as well, who I believe is a little older than Clary, but also younger than me. We'll come to you guys in a second. The first thing I thought of is, for some reason, we disrespect the peanut butter and the jelly. Like, as a kid, every day you can eat a PB&J, no one's going to question you. And yet, when you're a grown-up and you're eating PB&J, it's shunned upon. Joe Shane, the GM of the Giants, in the first episode of Hard Knocks, addressed the fact that he eats PB&J in his car every day. And he was, like, explaining it away, like, here's why I do it, and everyone thinks it's so ridiculous that I'm a general manager of a team and I'm still eating PB&J. We should still be eating PB&J as adults, but it is definitely one of those foods for some reason. As a kid, awesome. As a grown-up, not supposed to do it. I would put that in the chicken tenders category, where it's getting a bad name, but we should still be eating peanut butter and jelly. Here's one that I do think you should stop eating after you're a kid. If you loved Kraft mac and cheese, like the out of the box, like warmed up mac and cheese as a kid that's super easy to make, you make it for the kids and they pummel it every single day at lunch. There are better versions, better forms, there's better ways to do it as a grown-up than just having that same mac and cheese that you had as a kid. So that would be something I would say good as a kid. As a grown-up, probably not going to do it anymore. I'll give you one more. Dino chicken nuggets. Frozen, shaped like dinosaur brand chicken nuggets. Awesome when you're a kid. When you're a grown-up, probably shouldn't be eating those anymore. But I ask you guys, and you could tweet me at Grant H. Paulson. I would love to get some fun responses on this. I could read some of the best that come in. You could send me Instagram thoughts as well at Grant H. Paulson. A food that's great when you're a kid that you're supposed to not eat anymore when you're an adult in honor of Jacoby Brissett being out on chicken tenders because he's 31.
So you had Dino Nuggets. That was going to be my one seed, but kind of along those lines, we talked about this pre-show, macaroni cheese and ketchup. That is something as an adult that I still do. Am I ashamed to do that when I go out in public? Absolutely.
Well, it's disgusting.
It's not disgusting. It's really good. And I love it every single time. I'll continue to love it every single time that I have it. But also another one.
Can I ask real quick?
Sure.
Do you have some ketchup on your plate from something else and just drag the mac and cheese through it?
No.
Or do you actually squirt mac and cheese, like ketchup on top of mac and cheese?
I'll do ketchup on top of mac and cheese. It's just, but it has to be, it's a texture thing. If it's like a creamy mac and cheese, then there's nothing better than a little bit of ketchup mixed inside that. So that's just my thing. I know. Peanut butter and jellies, you kind of hit on that as well. One thing that I've kind of thought of that is kind of centered towards kids, but still very good in as an adult, bagel bites. Bagel bites are
bagel
like...
Bagel bites are a 10.
They're a 10.
I love bagel bites at pretty much every gathering at my house around watching sports. Like, that to me, that's not a kid. Certainly, it is known for snacking with your buddies at a sleepover, but I don't think it stops as a kid food.
Yeah.
I don't see it that way.
And then the M&M yogurt cups as well. Those things are fire today. They're centered towards
kids. There's
some
snack stuff like that for sure. Like Dunkin' Sticks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking about what are the they come as like little sticks that you dip into like the white sugar sauce. There's like any kind of like those types of like after snack, you're just eating after school snack, you're eating sugar, like that kind of stuff. Anthony, you got anything that as a kid you loved, but if you ate it now, people would make fun of you?
All I can think of is breast milk. I'm not a complicated guy.
Wow.
I'm very simple.
That's a good one.
You put anything in front of me, you know, I'm a guy, I keep moving. I don't have a lot of time. I'll still eat bagel bites. I'll still eat chicken tenders and fries. I'll eat whatever I can get my hands
breast
on.
Breast milk's definitely an answer.
Yeah.
I will give you that.
Yeah, there's nothing that I can't eat anymore.
That one you could set to the side. Although, I remember MTV Cribs. I don't remember who it was. There was an NFL player. I don't want to guess in case I'm wrong. It's weird. I think I know who it was. I think it was a running back for the Falcons, but I won't guess any more than that. He opened up his fridge. He's like, yeah, I got some breast milk. It's better for me. And I'm like, probably wouldn't have told the camera that one. That one's weird. But yes, that's certainly okay when you're a baby and not as okay when you're a grown-up. I will give you that answer. Send me yours at Grant H. Paulson if you'd like. Let's get you a Beltway Blitz next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan, August 5th, 2024, Monday afternoon. We'll get to a double play in just a couple of moments. Did want to give you the latest on the Brandon Ayuk reporting I referenced out of San Francisco. So here was what was going on over the weekend. Matt Maiocco, who covers the Niners for NBC Bay Area, is a newsbreaker, gets a lot of intel, is pretty plugged in out there. And most of the reporting on Ayuk or people suggesting he could get traded, it's been a lot of aggregator stuff, a lot of people on the outside looking in just suggesting what if he got traded, look at what he posted on Instagram. But this was one of the first times that a guy who was plugged in like a stove, you know, actually came out and said, I could see him getting traded. And it happened yesterday with Maiocco, who wrote in a piece last night, why would the 49ers be willing to move wide receiver Brandon Ayuk if, like most NFL trades, they receive only draft picks in return? The answer is they probably would not. After all, San Francisco is built to win now, and there is no reason for them to be interested in anything that weakens the team for the coming season. That was the first couple of paragraphs. By the way, it's exactly what I've been saying. They've got to win the Super Bowl. They're in win-or-go-home mode. Kyle Shanahan has been to a Super Bowl now as an OC and as a head coach multiple times, and has not finished what he started. Their GM, John Lynch, is fending off, you know, haters at the door who suggest that, you know, they're just not going to be able to win now. They didn't take advantage of their window. They missed their golden opportunity. So it is Super Bowl or bust mode for San Francisco before some of these contracts, like Ayuk's, blow up and they lose their chance after paying Brock Purdy to do it with a quarterback on a rookie contract. But Mayoko went on to write, but what if they could acquire a proven wide receiver in addition to future draft picks? Now that starts to make sense for the 49ers and Ayuk. And he would go on to say that he, for the first time, actually does see a path to an Ayuk trade because he's hearing that the receiver and the team are not getting closer together on a deal and that the discussions between the player and the club basically are stalled. There's been other reporting this weekend from NFL Draft Buzz that came out that actually suggested that there are two teams that are the most likely to be able to pull off a trade with the 49ers. They cited the Cleveland Browns and the New England Patriots as those teams. And we can get into why those clubs seem to be singled out here. But if, in fact, Mayoko's reporting is correct, and the Niners would have no interest in trading Ayuk for just picks, but that he does now think they would be willing to trade him, I'm guessing he was told this by somebody, for a veteran wide receiver that could help them this year and draft picks, then Cleveland makes a lot of sense because they've got Amari Cooper, who caught 72 balls for 1,250 yards and 5 touchdowns last year, who's going into the final year of his deal. So if the Browns wanted to trade Cooper to San Francisco and then pay Ayuk $30 million a year, throw in a pick or two, that might get a deal done, and it would make sense for San Fran. Ayuk would be happy to get paid, and the Browns would be happy to add a wide receiver. So at least you're starting to connect the dots on why would the Niners do this, well, which was always my issue before when everyone suggested that the 49ers and the Commanders should work something out to trade Ayuk to Washington for some draft picks. The 49ers are trying to win a title. You're not giving up a second-team All-Pro wide receiver who went 70 for 1,300 last year for draft picks in a gotta-have-it year. But if we're now saying you could trade a veteran wide receiver in those picks and get Ayuk, while that might change whether or not you're interested in doing that, if you're a team considering acquiring him, at least you could start to find some potential dance partners where the 49ers get something out of the deal, Ayuk gets paid so he's happy, and then the acquiring team that has the veteran to trade gets Ayuk. The Patriots make less sense to me only because I don't see the veteran that San Fran would be really happy to add. Kendrick Bourne's the name that came up in the story, who's okay, but I mean, he's a fourth receiver type in my opinion. My guess is because there's familiarity in San Fran, he played with Shanahan before, maybe he knows the offense, and the thought is he could help them right away. Obviously, you'd have to give up a much nicer package of picks with Bourne than you would with Amari Cooper. But it does make you think a little bit about Washington and whether or not they would pick the phone back up if some of these storylines are percolating again this week. But we can get into that in more detail next hour. Let's get to our double play on G&D, driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. I saw this clip online, sent it to Ryan, thought this would be a perfect time to address it. I don't really know how this came about, but there are two mic'd up New England Patriots at practice. There is a lineman talking to Jacoby Brissett, the former Washington quarterback, wearing his red "Don't Touch Me" penny at practice. And what I'm going to tell you what you're going to hear, and then you'll listen to the audio because it's a little difficult to pick up if I don't give you some of the pointers first. But this lineman is talking about, it seems like a fast food joint or a restaurant or something, and he's telling Jacoby Brissett how good the place is, and he's saying they've got chicken tenders, and he's naming some other things. Burgers, I think, comes up. And Jacoby Brissett stops him with great disdain, and he tells him, "I don't give a damn about chicken tenders because I'm a grown-up," basically. He says, "I'm 31 years old." He goes full Mike Gundy on him. "Why would I care about chicken tenders? I'm 31. Listen to the clip here.
"I got chicken tenders, burgers.
I'm the chicken tenders. I'm 31.
One more time, let's hear Jacoby Brissett's anger about the notion of eating a chicken tender because he's a grown-up.
"I got chicken tenders, burgers.
I'm the chicken tenders. I'm 31.
Jacoby, you're my guy. I love you. You are the consummate veteran professional. You had five drives here in the nation's capital last year with the good guys, and I think you scored five times. You were probably the best quarterback in the building, hindsight becoming wisdom, looking back to last season. Now, I wouldn't have played you because I had to find out what Sam Howell was, but you were better than Deshaun Watson in your final year in Cleveland. You outperformed him. You came here and you sat behind a guy you probably could have outperformed all season long in Sam Howell. I think you are the epitome of the bridge, like the best version of the backup quarterback who keeps a seat warm. Wish you were still here to help out Jaden Daniels. You have never been more wrong about anything, sir. Chicken tenders? You can't eat anymore because you're 31 years old? That's a food that you have to give up because you're a grown-up? Absolutely not. Chicken tenders are still an entree on a lot of menus. They're still an appetizer at tons of places. They'll give you some tendies, and they'll do a bunch of different sauces. You ever had tendies at a Glory Days Grill? We do those at our fantasy football draft every year in August. Get some tendies with a bunch of sauces. Now, it's funny to hear Jacoby Brissett say this after the guy he shared a quarterback room with last year only ate chicken tenders, basically, in Sam Howell, who had never had steak. Remember, he was team chicken tender, Mr. Tendy. Maybe that's where the frustration comes from. Brissett trying to put a flag in the ground, separate himself from Sam Howell once and for all. But it did get me to thinking about foods that you should stop eating after you're young. Like, what foods are the best when you're a kid, but as a grown-up, you're not supposed to eat them anymore? And I want to throw this out for Clary, who's much younger than me, who's 24, and for Anthony as well, who I believe is a little older than Clary, but also younger than me. We'll come to you guys in a second. The first thing I thought of is, for some reason, we disrespect the peanut butter and the jelly. Like, as a kid, every day you can eat a PB&J, no one's going to question you. And yet, when you're a grown-up and you're eating PB&J, it's shunned upon. Joe Shane, the GM of the Giants, in the first episode of Hard Knocks, addressed the fact that he eats PB&J in his car every day. And he was, like, explaining it away, like, here's why I do it, and everyone thinks it's so ridiculous that I'm a general manager of a team and I'm still eating PB&J. We should still be eating PB&J as adults, but it is definitely one of those foods for some reason. As a kid, awesome. As a grown-up, not supposed to do it. I would put that in the chicken tenders category, where it's getting a bad name, but we should still be eating peanut butter and jelly. Here's one that I do think you should stop eating after you're a kid. If you loved Kraft mac and cheese, like the out-of-the-box, like warmed-up mac and cheese as a kid that's super easy to make, you make it for the kids, and they pummel it every single day at lunch, there are better versions, better forms, there's better ways to do it as a grown-up than just having that same mac and cheese that you had as a kid. So that would be something I would say good as a kid. As a grown-up, probably not going to do it anymore. I'll give you one more. Dino chicken nuggets. Frozen, shaped like dinosaur brand chicken nuggets. Awesome when you're a kid. When you're a grown-up, probably shouldn't be eating those anymore. But I ask you guys, and you can tweet me at Grant H. Paulson. I would love to get some fun responses on this. I could read some of the best that come in. You can send me Instagram thoughts as well at Grant H. Paulson. A food that's great when you're a kid that you're supposed to not eat anymore when you're an adult, in honor of Jacoby Brissett being out on chicken tenders because he's 31.
So you had Dino Nuggets. That was going to be my one seed, but kind of along those lines we talked about this pre-show, macaroni cheese and ketchup. That is something as an adult that I still do. Am I ashamed to do that when I go out in public? Absolutely.
Well, it's disgusting.
It's not disgusting. It's really good. And I love it every single time. I'll continue to love it every single time that I have it. But also another one.
Can I ask real quick?
Sure.
Do you have some ketchup on your plate from something else and just drag the mac and cheese through it?
No.
Or do you actually squirt mac and cheese, like ketchup on top of mac and cheese?
I'll do ketchup on top of mac and cheese. It's just, but it has to be, it's a texture thing. If it's like a creamy mac and cheese, then there's nothing better than a little bit of ketchup mixed inside that. So that's just my thing. I know. Peanut butter and jellies, you kind of hit on that as well. One thing that I've kind of thought of that is kind of centered towards kids, but still very good in as an adult. Bagel bites. Bagel bites are a 10. They're a 10.
I love bagel bites at pretty much every gathering at my house around watching sports. Like, that, to me, that's not a kid. Certainly, it is known for snacking with your buddies at a sleepover, but I don't think it stops as a kid food.
Yeah.
I don't see it that way.
And then the M&M yogurt cups as well. Those things are fire today. They're centered towards
kids. There's some snack stuff like that for sure. Like Dunkin' Sticks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking about what are the, they come as like little sticks that you dip into like the white sugar sauce. There's any kind of like those types of like after snack, you're just eating after school snack, you're eating sugar, like that kind of stuff. Anthony, you got anything that as a kid you loved, but if you ate it now, people would make fun of you?
All I can think of is breast milk. I'm not a complicated guy.
Wow.
I'm very simple.
That's a good one.
You put anything in front of me. You know, I'm a guy, I keep moving. I don't have a lot of time. I'll still eat bagel bites. I'll still eat chicken tenders and fries. I'll eat whatever I can get my hands
on. Breast milk's definitely an answer.
Yeah.
I will give you that.
Yeah,
that,
there's nothing that I can't eat anymore.
That one you could set to the side. Although, I remember MTV Cribs. I don't remember who it was. There was an NFL player. I don't even want to guess in case I'm wrong. It's weird. I think I know who it was. I think it was a running back for the Falcons, but I won't guess any more than that. He opened up his fridge. He's like, yeah, I got some breast milk. It's better for me. And I'm like, probably wouldn't have told the camera that one. That one's weird. But yes, that's certainly okay when you're a baby and not as okay when you're a grown-up. I will give you that answer. Send me yours at Grant H. Paulson if you'd like. Let's get you a Beltway Blitz next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.